Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 56 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Jesus ever since. Well, friends, keep praying for my knees that I'll be able to walk again. I'll tell you, it's pretty tough when you got to depend on everybody else. But the Bible speaks about the blind man and other people who had to depend on the beggar there at the gate. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, for such as I have I give unto thee. Arise and walk." And that man went into the temple praising and God. I praise God for even all the problems I've been through with cancer and heart and all that. I praise Him, because He's faithful and He's a loving God, and He loves you tonight. I don't know what all your problems are. Maybe yours is a lot worse than mine. But praise Him. Thank Him. Tell others about Him. You'll find that there's a joy to serving the Lord. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea, a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Well, here's our thought for the day. Prayer gives strength to the weak, faith to the faint-hearted, and courage to the fearful. Let's speak on a subject that we all need to know more about. Why? Because basically we're cowards. Oh, but little David wasn't a coward, did he, when he went out there and faced old Goliath? You know why David wasn't afraid? Because he'd already tried the Lord. He'd killed a lion, he'd killed a bear, and he knew that he was on a mission for the Lord. He knew he couldn't miss. Tonight, let's talk about courage. Joshua 1:9. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Someone has said, don't be afraid to crawl out on a limb, because that's where the fruit is. As a little boy, I was afraid of the dark, and I also walked in my sleep, believe it or not. Well, my sister's bedroom was right across the hall from mine, and many times she'd get up and come get me and put me back into bed and tuck me in. And she would assure me everything was going to be all right. It was very comforting to know I had her there to protect me. But just look what Joshua said. This is my command. Be strong. Be courageous. Why? Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I want to ask a very personal question, because I'm good at asking questions, some people have told me. Has God given you traveling orders and you're afraid to launch out? Well, I guess you don't believe what Joshua said. Now, what I'm about to say you might doubt, but it's true. When God called me to preach, when I was sitting on that roof in the north end of Seattle, I was petrified. Why? Because I'd been an alcoholic for years. And I had only a three-word vocabulary. Da, da, da. I told you once, the day I preached my first sermon in my first church, I would have rather faced a two-year-old Brahma bull than to step into that pulpit. Over 100 people were looking at me. Now let's look and see what the Lord did for Cecil. Not what Cecil's done for the Lord, but what the Lord has done for Cecil. I had this godly deacon who had known the Lord many more years than I had. Now, what did Joshua say? Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, that godly older man said, Brother Moe, let's go into the prayer room where we can get you strength and courage. When that dear old deacon knelt before God, I began to pray for me. The tears began to flow. I said, Oh, God, I'm frightened. And dear friends, within my heart and spirit, I heard a small little voice say, Cecil, fear not, for I am with thee. Oh, what a sweet, comforting sound. I got up and I preached out my heart. Well, friends, the first year in that little church, God gave us over 50 men and women who gave their hearts to Jesus. Now, you say, well, boy, you must have been a good preacher. No, friends. I labored where I harvested where I didn't even labor. Because years before I was there, there was a group of people called American Sunday School. They came into this little town, and they started teaching the Bible in homes. But the one thing they never did, they never would build churches. They would just preach the Bible, and they'd move on. Well, here's a whole bunch of people who knew the gospel and heard the gospel and was never asked to respond. Well, when they came to our church, I extended an invitation every service, Sunday night, Sunday morning, Wednesday night. I always extend an invitation. On this radio broadcast for over 40-some years, I do the same thing. I always invite people to put their trust in Christ. What would be the purpose of preaching without inviting people to trust Jesus? Now, in Philippians 4:13, and this is a beautiful piece of scripture, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Now, some of you listening tonight have received a call to teach a Sunday school class or be a Sunday school superintendent or to preach. And you too are petrified. And the devil says, Who do you think you are? Now here's something you have to fight when you have success as a preacher or teacher. Ego. Yes, ego. Oh, I've traveled with men and women over the years in lay evangelism, teaching them how to reach souls and how to be a witness. Some have succumbed to ego, and it almost destroyed them. What does the Bible say? Pride cometh before a fall. As you know, I try to incorporate things that has happened to me in my messages for the purpose of making it more believable. Now, I had received a call from the Bellingham Rescue Mission to be the assistant director. And I accepted that call, and we were moving the last much of our furniture up to the mission house. Well, now when we knew we were going to go, we had the phone cut off and we had the power cut off, yakety yak. Well, we thought our phone had been disconnected, but we were wrong. The phone rings, and a man from Grand Forest, North Dakota, asked my wife where I was. And she said, well, he's taking a load out to the dump, and he's going to finish up moving our stuff to Bellingham. He'll be back in a few minutes. And when I returned, my wife was crying and wringing her hands and said, what's the matter? She said, oh, Cease, you've just been called to take over the Grand Forks City Mission in North Dakota. And I said, well, I can't accept it. Why? Because I promised the Bellingham Rescue Mission, I would come and be their assistant director. Well, now listen, friends, this is beautiful. This shows you that when you follow God, you won't make a mistake. Well, we finished moving to the mission house in Bellingham, and on Monday morning, I was to take my new position as assistant director. As I walked into Reverend Hildy's office, his dog tried to bite me. Reverend Hildy was reading the paper, and he never even looked up and said, "Cecil, you're not coming to be my assistant director." And I said, "I sure am." And then I told him I had received a call to come to Grand Forks, North Dakota, to be the executive director there. And I said, "Reverend Hildy, I told you I would come to be with you." And he said, "Cecil, do you know what you have been offered?" And I said, "No." He said, "This mission is 3 to 4 times larger than this one. And you'd have a staff of 12 people. You'd have a radio broadcast, etc., etc." He said, "Cecil, when you and I knelt to pray in your home, this is what I prayed. Thy will be done in Cecil's life." And I said, "Yes, I remember." He said, "Cecil, I can't stand in the way of an opportunity of a lifetime." Well, it says in Psalms 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy." Oh, amen, amen, and amen. Two of my sons were in the service, so I loaded up my two daughters, my son, and my wife, and left for Grand Forks, North Dakota. Yes, I was apprehensive, to say the least. Folks, when we pulled up in front of that huge mission, it encompassed one half of a city block. I wanted to run and hide, just like when I took my first church. All I have ever done was drive a truck in the rescue mission in Bellingham. Now here I am with a huge mission. Oh, friends, yes, I was petrified. I walked into that large mission and I was stunned, to say the least. The former director had died with cancer and the mission was run down, oh, yes, and even dirty. I met with a board of directors after lunch. They had hired me sight and unseen. They had heard about me, but they had never seen me. After going over my job description, they gave me a checkbook with $10,000 in it. And, the store was large. They had clothing store, they had a furniture store, they had apartments. They had places for men and women. And, did you know that very day in the meeting, to show you how God takes care of people, one of the board members owned a big, large roofing company. He said, "Cecil, I hear that by trade you are a roofer." And I said, "That I am." This man said, "I suggest and I move that we give Cecil Moe $100 a month raise before we start. We want our preacher to look good on his job. We want him to dress nice." Well, I took immediate inventory of the mission. We rolled up our sleeves and we absolutely refurbished the offices. We painted the building. Of course, the outside was brick from top to bottom. I bought pool table for the men and down the dorm and a color TV. And then I threw an open house to the city. They were all surprised. Boy, was I proud of what our men and women had done. It was a real show house for the Lord. Friends, listen. We should not look down our nose at men and women who come to the missions. Many of them are homeless. Many of them have mental problems. Many of them are alcoholics and drug addicts. And if you don't have a compassionate heart for those kind of people, do not, I repeat, do not ever take a job in a rescue mission. I had 3 radio broadcasts. There was never a Sunday I didn't have a pulpit to fill. Even the Catholic Church, would you believe that? I preached every Saturday night. Excuse me. I preached every Saturday night in our beautiful chapel. We had members from churches from all over the city. I mean, we had Nazarenes, we had Baptists, we had Pentecostal, we had all kinds of people come. Why did they come there? Because they knew, they had heard, that Cecil Moe had one message, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I invited them to put their trust in Christ. Well, the mission received $800 a month from the Red Feather Association. We had apartments upstairs where we housed abused women. We had a basement dorm that would handle 50 men. We had private rooms for men. We had a huge laundry to wash clothes. We had a very good cooks. And we had donations of beef, chickens, potatoes, tons of groceries, and we took care of thousands of needy families. This particular day, I'll never forget this. After Monday morning, and I was in my mission office, and I got a call from this lady, and she said, "Preacher, you don't know who I am, but you know that great big Elks million-dollar building over here they just built?" I said, "Yeah." "Well, if you go behind, there's a little bitty shack, and there's a man and a woman and a little girl living in there, and they're starving to death, and they're freezing to death. What are you going to do about it?" I said, "I'm going to go there right now." So I picked up a couple boxes of groceries and meat and stuff. Went over to this little old shack and knocked on a door. And a little 2 or 3 year old girl came to the door, and she had shorts on. And her little toes were sticking out of her tennis shoes and no socks. I said, "Is your mama or your daddy here?" And she says, "Well, my mama's here. She's back in bed and she's sick." So she invited me in. I went in there, and here this lady was wrapped up in a blanket. And it was cold in that house. I said, "Ma'am," she said, "well, they turned our heat off. And, of course, we don't have no lights. And the only food we've had for the last couple of days is raw potatoes." "Well," I said, "ma'am, that's okay. You're taken care of. Here, I've got 2 big boxes of groceries. And if you need more, you let me know. And I'm going over and I'm going to get your heat turned on and get your water turned on and your lights turned on." And I've did that many times in needy families. Oh, what a feeling of, it made you feel so good to be able to help the poor and the needy. The Bible said when we help the poor, we lend unto the Lord. And I remember one night, friends, the First Lutheran Church was holding a banquet. And I mean, when they threw a banquet, it was a doozy. They had, I don't know how many hundred pounds of roll roast. A big snowstorm hit just about 2 hours prior to the meeting. They called me the next morning and said, "Preacher, we have tons." Well, not we have tons, but we have hundreds of roll roast. Would the mission take them? I said, "Absolutely." They brought them over to the mission, and we gave them to families. We'd call them up on the phone and said, "How would you like to have a roll roast for dinner?" And they'd say, "Oh, yes." I remember one time, I've told you this story, but it's worth telling. They come in with some chickens, and this old guy come in and said, "Would you like some chickens for your mission?" I said, "Yeah." We went out there, and they opened the trunk, and they'd got out of the box, and they flew all over. We chased chickens for a half an hour. One day he called me and said, "I need to give you some more chickens." I said, "You going to bring them in the trunk?" "No." He said, "Bring your big truck out." "Why?" He said, "Because I got 5,000 chickens to give you." We went out there and boxed those chickens up in crates. I took them to a plucking outfit, and they plucked the chickens. And we gave chickens to everybody in North Dakota Indian Hill. The city treated me like a king. We always received 10% off on food, clothing, car, etc. It was like a dream. I didn't know as much about running a mission as any of you, and I'm not kidding. I was on the governor's council on poverty. I spoke at many, many banquets. Yes, friends. As I said before, my heart was filled with joy. I couldn't wait to get to my office every morning. I was usually on the phone for 2 hours when I arrived. I was influential in getting showers and new bathrooms installed in labor camps. I worked with the welfare department and local government agencies. As I look back, I do not seriously believe I did all these things. Why could I? Because one day Jesus saved this old drunk and transformed my life. I can only give all the praise and the glory to Jesus, my Lord. I was there when I was invited 5 times to speak at the Pentagon. Yes, that was an honor that I did not deserve. I was enlisted by the local judges to visit people in prison that they might know how much time to give them, and to visit them and give the judges my evaluation. Yes, friends, maybe you have been given traveling orders for the Lord, and you say, Lord, I can't do it. Well, if he can use someone like me, believe me, with all your talents, he can sure use you. One night, my dorm manager called me and said, Vivier is down here in a mission. He's drunk and he has a switchblade and he was going to kill some of our boys. He was half Indian and half black. I went down to the dorm and sure enough, there he was with a wine bottle and a paper sack and said, I said, Vivier, give me that bottle. And he responded, come and take it if you can. Well, these men were all sitting there to find out what I was going to do. Was I going to let him buffalo me? No. I went after him. We went under the pool table, over the pool table, under the beds, over the beds. But I finally got the bottle before he got the switchblade knife on me. And I put him out of the mission. The next morning, would you believe it, that man came to my office, stuck his hand out and said, no hard feelings? I said, no hard feelings. Those men tested me all the time I was there. Well, friends, Joshua 1:9, this is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you have the courage to tell God that you're a lost sinner and are ready to repent of your sins and receive Christ? Friends, if you have a tugging at your heart tonight, it's evident that God is trying to get your attention. Are you willing to listen to him? He wants you. He wants your heart. So tonight, if you really are tired of your sinful life and you want to put your trust in Jesus, I want you to bow your head to me right now and pray this powerful sinful prayer, sinner's prayer. Dear Lord, in Jesus' name I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm so sorry for my wayward life. Tonight, Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, please call me 303-471-8534. Now, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. If you can't afford to call, friend, call collect and I'll accept the charge. I do not solicit money. I don't try to get money from my ministry. God has taken care of our needs through my roofing business years ago. We've made some investments and God has blessed them and all. Well, friends, if I can help you, please call 303-471-8534. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your hosts have been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Please remember me in prayer, my knees and my wife's legs. She got that ulcer. Pray for us. Pray for our health. We're getting up there. We're getting real old. But, oh, my heart is still on fire for Jesus. This is all I want to do is tell people about Christ and go give movies and films away that will help people to find Jesus who are having terrible problems. So, friend, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. For this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.